Live from Burbank, California, where the former mayor was recently arrested for trading guns for drugs, it's the Mark Maron Show. And now a two-bit punk in a three-bit town, Mark Maron!
Who knew it was ever going to happen, huh? Good evening, geniuses, philosopher kings and queens, working class heroes, progressive utopians with no sense of humor, lurking conservatives, lingering Clippers fans, bloggers, markmaron.com, MARCMARON.com. Thank you for hanging out, you guys. I don't know what to tell you. We don't know when it's going to start either, but I'm glad we're on the air. Good evening to you, Jim Earle.
Good evening.
It's nice to see you. Come on, don't suck the energy out of it
really
so quick.
We just get
it up there.
The Skippers won.
Skippers won. I don't think they did win.
105-103.
Oh, let's not put them through that. We're all jacked up. It's Friday night, right?
It is?
Yeah, there you go.
Oh,
That's it. Give us a call, 877-520-1150. Tonight, we have comedian Melissa Paul. We also have, from the King of Queens and from many other places, the comedians of comedy. Patton Oswalt's going to stop by. Harrison, host of KTLK's Harrison on the Edge, is going to preview his interview with Gore Vidal tomorrow. That's going to happen right here. He's going to do a preview of that. We're looking forward to that. I've never met the guy. I'm looking forward to meeting the guy. Won't that be fun? To meet Harrison?
Fun.
Come on, man. So now, I just want to say that I bought artichokes today. Does that mean anything to anybody? If you live in California, it's artichoke season. And I don't know if I'm a wuss or what. But I was at the supermarket, and I'm like, wow, those artichokes look great. I'm going to have to get me some. You've had that moment, haven't you?
I love artichokes.
Oh, there you go. Yeah. What a complicated food. Am I wrong? This is progressive talk.
All you can do is wash them and steam them.
I know, but who the hell made that decision? I mean, what a peculiar thing to eat. They're like dinosaur flowers. I don't know whoever decided to eat them. Have you ever seen an artichoke as it exists in nature with the long stem coming out? It's literally a prehistoric flower. That's what I think they are. You hear me, Jim.
Did you have fun eating them?
I love it. Listen, folks, it's Friday. It's a big movie night, and it's also just a couple of days away from the Oscars, so we thought we'd try something pretty revolutionary here to help satisfy the public's need for accurate, up-to-the-minute film criticism. Live on the phone, friends, from the Arclight Theater is our real-time movie reviewer, Paul Rust, who's going to conduct the world's first film review during the course of the movie. Paul, are you there?
Yes, I'm here. I'm right here in the theater.
Okay, what's going on?
Right now, the previews actually have just started, and there's a moment of anticipation in the air for the movie, Mark.
Sure. Y'all set up there at the theater?
Yeah, there's a preview right now for Failure to Launch,
uh-huh,
the Matthew McConaughey vehicle,
uh-huh,
and looks pretty good.
All right, Paul. So why don't we let you get settled in, and we'll get back to you in a few minutes when you can give us a review of the first act. What are we going to be seeing? Do you have any idea?
We're going to be seeing the Oscar-nominated Good Night and Good Luck.
All right. Well, I appreciate you doing this, Paul. It's a revolutionary thing, and no one's ever done it before.
We're breaking new ground tonight, Mark.
You're telling me, man. So I'm looking forward to the As It Happens review. We'll get back to you. So hang tight and enjoy the movie.
Okay. Thank you.
Okay, and try to be quiet.
Yes.
Okay, good. All right, so we'll check back in with Paul. That's going to be interesting. It's never been done before. A lot happened in the world today, folks. We want to make sure you're caught up on the current events before you go to bed. So here's tonight's edition of Mark Maron's Short Order News. Speaking in Washington today, OPEC President Edmund Decourou said that the global oil market is actually oversupplied by about 2 million barrels per day. Currently, a barrel of light, sweet crude oil is going for just over $60, while nobody pays a dime for oil that's heavy, bitter, and complex. Former Congressman Randy Duke Cunningham was sentenced today to 8 years and 4 months in prison for accepting more than $2.4 million in bribes from defense contractors. As a result, he's changing his nickname from Duke to Duchess. In making his decision, the judge had to consider pleas for mercy from Cunningham's 91-year-old mother, who tried to bribe him with two shiny quarters and a lint-covered mint from her purse.
She's old.
Yeah, that's right. On the set of his new film in southern Mexico, Mel Gibson has taped a brief message for Sunday's Oscar telecast in an ancient Mayan language. Also that night, the Academy will present the Inca civilization with the Jean Hersholt Humanitarian Award for providing Hollywood with cocaine. And that's Mark Maron's Short Order News for tonight. Yes, it is.
Yeah, I love the Short Order News.
I love you, Jim Earle. And
okay,
I don't care how much you fight me and how much you make fun of that. I have an open heart to you tonight, my friend. Friday night.
If I opened my heart up to you, then you would stop loving me.
Yes, that's true. That is true. That's the nature of it. I just want to do this real quick. We got flowers tonight, and I got a blog posting here. It said, going to have to check out Morning Seditionist for my blogging pleasure this week. And throwing the question out in the wind, did Mark at McDonald get the flowers I ordered from a lady who didn't understand what I was saying? That's from Painting Girl on the blog, who actually did give me a painting, which I have hanging in my office, a lovely painting of the door of the old studio back in New York. Christina, we did get the flowers, and here's what the note said. Mark Maron and P.W. McDonald, great job. Thank you, and I will beg internship. Love, Christina, the painting girls. So she did the best she could, whoever took that order from you, and the flowers were lovely, and I appreciate it. Folks, our guest now. You ready, Jim?
I'm ready.
Okay. She's been on Curb Your Enthusiasm, 6 feet under. She was a series regular on Mad TV. Melissa Paul is sitting there all nicotined up.
Oh, come on.
No, I appreciate it, man.
You do?
I do. I used to smoke. You can't even smoke a pack and a half, 2 packs a day.
Yeah, I'm back to 2 packs a day.
It's horrifying, isn't it?
I love it, though. I hate it, and I love it.
Do you ever wake up with this?
I wake up like
yeah, and you're like, I know what needs to happen. Now I need to burn through that mucus.
And then you pull up something serious in the morning, and you feel like you're going to be okay for the day.
Is that basically, you actually feel like you've been creative. It's like, look what I made.
Uh-huh. Yeah. Oh, we're cool. Let's smoke again.
You know what's sad about me is, and I hate to admit this, because when I was working in New York and I was doing the morning show, I quit smoking like 5 years ago, and I decided that I had no life and I didn't know what to do with myself. I was living with those two wild animals, or three or four at one time, actually, and I just started to smoke a cigar, you know, just to, you know, and I'm not a cigar snob.
For the taste, right?
No, just for the buzz. Are you kidding me? I don't want to start smoking cigarettes again, but I'll smoke a cigar and just get loaded with nicotine, and it's nuts, and now I'm hooked on those stinky things.
Yeah, they're awful and they're stinky, but it gives you something to do with your hands when you're quitting, that's why.
But there's no way you can pull off a cigar as being cool. There's just not, because people just look at you like, look at that ass. Why is he doing, you know?
No, I mean, you look like a schmuck, and if you hold it the right way, you look like more of an idiot. Yeah, I quit for 2 years, and then I went to Greece for the summer.
Oh, that'll
where
do it.
Cancer, like, apparently doesn't exist. People tan and eat whatever and smoke nonstop. And I was like, me too. I don't get cancer either. And
you have
I'm
to
back
smoke.
Here, like, my doctor's like, there's a lump on your throat. I'm like, no, something's not wrong.
Come on.
No.
You got a lump on your throat?
Nah, man,
good for you. Look
lumps,
what you're making.
Cyst, tumor,
look what you're making.
All the same. I'm creating.
I'm creating polyps. I've got polyps. That's the funniest line in Ironweed when Tom Waits goes, Doc said I got cancer. I ain't never had nothing before. Genius. what a weird.
One of the first impressions I've heard you do.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh, who can't do weights? You can do weights music really easy. All you need is like a fork, a pan, and a bass, and just like, just clomp, and then you go,
and a shoe full of Darvocet.
Perfect. So let's dish, shall we?
On me?
I don't know.
No,
yeah, I want to hear some dirt. I want to hear some exciting things. Here, how about Curb Your Enthusiasm? Like, I just got, you know, HBO sent me the box set for being involved in something they did over there with the Left of the Dial thing.
Uh-huh.
And it took me a while to like Curb Your Enthusiasm, because
right.
I just found him irritating.
Right.
But now I like it, and you worked on it. How many episodes did you do?
One.
What did you play
it's
on
funny.
It? Which
my,
one was it?
I have press people. The lesbian in the big lesbian episode.
Oh, I remember now.
Yeah, yeah.
And
it's funny because they cast me without seeing me, you know, like just off reputation, which is rare, and I love it and whatever.
Yeah.
And I get there, and everyone was like, she doesn't really look like a lesbian at all.
What does that mean?
Well, I mean, usually I come off. Unfortunately, you radio listeners can't tell how.
She's cute and she's not fat? What does that mean?
Cute and not fat, but like surly and opinionated equals lesbian normally, so.
I don't understand. I've never been able to. I mean, it seems to me that classification of what a lesbian looks like is a stereotype.
Yeah, I know, but the Hollywood lesbian is an anomaly, so.
What is it? So now, okay, so you're working with Larry David.
Yeah, you know, I feel like I might get in trouble if I go into talking
no one's
about
listening,
how,
but the people that are up all night in New York. Come on,
well,
give it up.
Not particularly friendly. And at one point, you know, he leaned over and said, you know, I think so-and-so really missed it on casting this year for me to hear it.
Really?
And then I had to go on and do a scene, and I was like, huh, would you guys like anything else? Terrified.
Isn't that surprising to you, Jim, that Larry David would be an ass? I mean, isn't that surprising? You would never know that from his character that he plays himself.
It's not surprising at all.
Yeah.
I don't know why you're even saying that.
So now, but was that the only, was he rude in other ways? I mean,
no, he was fine. He's just, it's like his show, it's his business. He's kind of like Woody Allen in the way he runs the set. Like, people know that if they F up, they're going to be fired on the spot. You know what I mean?
He fires people on the spot?
Yeah, he does the Woody Allen thing. Like, get someone else in here.
Oh, really? Yeah. And just detaches completely and treats you like dirt?
Yeah.
Mm. Well, yeah. He's a funny guy.
Yeah, it's a good, it's a clever show. We needed more Seinfeld. Like, happy to watch it. No problem.
You know? It's weird, though. It's as people get to like people, I hate hearing people that are really that way, that are real asses.
He's hugely
like that.
Rich and powerful. Why does he have to be that way?
No, I know, but it's like I understand the integrity of the show or whatever, but there's a way to diplomatically deal with that. Yeah. You know, you should bring someone else in to be rude.
Mm-hmm.
Am I right?
If I were rich and powerful, I'd try to go for being an ass. I think that would be...
That's another question we were gonna talk about, because we're talking about Randy Duke Cunningham. This guy just took the hit today, and it was beautiful. You know, he's going down. They gave him no leniency. He's doing 8.5 out of 10 years for being a bribe-taken ass, and he deserves it. And I hope it just is a domino effect with all of the people in the Republicans in Congress. And I get... It's weird how thrilling Schadenfreude can be. And I feel that sometimes in our business, too. And I'm not particularly bitter, but certainly in some respects... I could have seen myself being somewhere else than where I am in my career at times, although I'm happy with where I am. Mm-hmm. But don't you just love seeing people fail?
No, yeah, it's great. I'm that person that's like, oh, really? That happened? Oh, wow.
That's
wonderful.
That's
great.
That's too bad, Reed. Great.
Great.
So I feel so much
better.
So
you're really unhappy? That's terrific for me.
Oh, that's too bad that you're unhappy. I hate that feeling, too, when you talk to somebody and they're like, dude, I'm really in a bad place. And you're like, really? What happened? And parties like, going, yes, finally.
In your pocket, you have a memory of something much, much worse, and you're like, oh, really? You stubbed your toe? That's fine, because I don't have an arm. You know what I mean?
Yeah. I think also it's a little misery loves company. You know,
absolutely.
I think that I'm knowing a lot. I've got to watch that. And it's weird that you get into these verbal habits that you don't realize you have until you hear yourself on radio. You've said
misery loves company a lot?
No, I say you know a lot. And I just draw attention to it, so now that everybody's listening, it's like, wow, he does say it a lot. See, how he sabotaged me?
The bloggers, you know it. They'll
so, Melissa, what are you going to do now? Where are you going? What's happening?
Oh, it's really great. Now that I've completely run out of money, I've decided to put up a play on my own.
Uh-huh.
And in a 50-seat theater, I apparently have to pay royalties.
What's the name of the play?
The White Liars.
When's it opening?
March 9th.
There you go. White Liars, March 9th. Yeah. Melissa Paul.
50-seat theater, have to pay royalties. How depressing.
But people are going to come see your play because we have a lot of listeners that like that.
Yeah.
We are coming back with more movie reviews. Melissa Paul, thank you for joining us.
Thank you.
And we have Patton Oswalt. So hang out. It's AM 1150, and we got Bush's radio address as well.
Now back to a man worn down by the rigors of work and the burdens of responsibility, Mark Maron.
That's right. Thank you. Thank you, Jim Earl. Thank you, everybody. 6 past the hour. It is Progressive Talk, AM 1150. I am Mark Maron. It is markmaron.com, MarcMaron. There is a very active blog party going on, pointing out that on some level, I say on some level a lot, thank you very much. That's all I need, is to feel more insecure about my particular strange speech patterns. I appreciate it. I'm kidding. I don't care. Melissa Paul is still with us. It seemed we played this trick on you before we went on break that she was going to leave, and she didn't leave. And it's awkward because, you know, we're like, all right, thanks, Melissa. But she was like, I'm not done.
I had a lot of material to work out. How unfortunate.
But we do want to talk about the play.
Yeah.
Because you set it up in sort of a negative way, and I don't want people to think that you're not excited.
No, I'm super excited. I started a company called Playhouse Worst, and it's basically everything acting should be in L.A. that it isn't. So we're making fun of all the theater companies, Playhouse Worst and whatever, but we actually do serious takes on plays, and it's not exhausting actors, you know, yelling lines in your face. It's good.
You're a real actress?
Yeah. It's a drama.
But you were trained as an actress, because you're saying that it's what acting should be in L.A.
Yeah.
And so you have a background in that, like you're a professionally trained person?
Yeah, but, you know, you keep it under the radar. I don't, get business cards with my picture on them and hand them out to people, but...
But because most acting, certainly in acting classes, is training people to make an impression on a 2-minute audition with crappy material.
That and how to sleep with your scene partner, yeah.
What? That always happens, doesn't it?
Yeah. That's always the first rule. Whatever you do, do not sleep with anyone in class. And you look around the room like, that guy's going to get it.
Yeah, it kind of kills those comedy scenes, too.
Yeah.
You're an ass. That's not the line. That's not funny. Why are you crying? Why are you crying now?
Why are you
now?
Crying? I left a note.
And the acting teacher's out of the loop. She's like, it's good. Just
it's
let
good.
It out.
Just go with the feelings you're having. Yeah, all this exhausting stuff is what the play's not. That's why I want you guys to come.
What's it called? Is it a play you wrote or it's not?
No, it's a play by Peter Schaefer, who is expecting royalties. So basically every time we say his name, we toss 25 cents into a jar and ship it over to Finland or wherever the hell he lives.
Where does he? He's a famous guy. He's written a lot of...
Amadeus.
Uh-huh. Those were very popular plays. Hilarious, both of them.
Yeah,
very funny.
No, this is not funny at all.
Oh, man, Equus. When I saw Equus, I was like, the horse is hilarious.
The fork.
It's terrific.
Yeah, it's funny.
Maybe I misunderstood. I was the only guy laughing, but I think, you know, those people are just stiffs.
Yeah, dark
to hell
is
with
funny.
Them.
Yeah, death, dark, funny.
It's definitely funny.
Hysterical.
So are you doing any stand-up or what?
Yeah, I got some stand-up shows at the Improv coming up.
I know, I had a concern. You know, if you go see Melissa Paul, brace yourself because she gets a little filthy, as my grandma says.
Yeah.
And
I tried
like
to clean it up. Yeah, but.
You can't clean it up. Once you're filthy, you're dirty all over and there's no cleaning up. And
yeah,
everybody
well, the
knows
dirt
you're filthy.
Starts, yeah, the dirt starts from way, way inside. So that's like years
deep.
Of therapy for it to actually come
deep
out.
Deep dirt. Thank God it's surfacing in the funny.
Yeah, just 8 years of therapy, maybe.
Does that? I was in therapy a long time. And you eventually get to this point where I literally got to the point where I was with my therapist and he knew I was doing an Air America program when I was doing the show in New York. So be like, so what do you think of this Bush thing? So I'd end up sitting there. I would get nothing out of it, and he'd get an entire show about my opinion. And he'd validate me, though. That was the greatest thing, because when you're on radio, you don't know if people are listening or they're agreeing with you necessarily.
Yeah.
But my therapist, my psychologist, would be like, that's a good point. I never thought of it like that. It's like, Dad, you know, we should come in the studio with me. Why don't you just come in the studio with me?
No, I work out material with my therapist, because that's the hardest guy to get to laugh ever. And if he laughs, then I know it's gold.
Yeah, and you're paying for it.
And I'm paying for it. You're listening, and you should be laughing. Yeah.
All right, Melissa Paul, I'm glad you stayed. Why don't you hang out for 1 second? You know what? You know, you better go.
Yeah, the website is myspace.com/playhouseworst.
Really, myspace.com?
We can't afford a real website. Come on.
I got to do that. If people tell me to do it, my wife was trying to show me how it works. And
it's
I still,
a clever site.
I still, the best I can figure it out is just it means you get email from people you don't know, and then you decide whether you like them or not, judging by their picture.
Yeah, you can decline them as friends. What's better than that?
Declining people as friends.
Decline.
No. All right, Melissa, thanks a lot. Come by again.
Okay.
All right, so folks, as you know, if you've been listening, we've got live on the phone right now from the Arclight Theater is our real-time movie reviewer, Paul Rust, who is going to be reviewing, what's it called again? The Good Night and Good Luck, the movie about Edward R. Murrow, as it unfolds. Paul, what's happening in the film, Paul?
Well, so far in Good Night and Good Luck, Edward R. Murrow has actually been forced to go undercover, get this, as an obese African-American woman. And, it's very funny.
Wait, Paul, it sounds like you're in the wrong theater, Paul. I think you're watching Big Mama's House 2. Is that possible?
Actually, yeah, now it makes sense why Edward R. Murrow kept saying, damn, girl.
All right, Paul, just get yourself into the right theater, and we'll call you back in a little while, okay?
Sounds good. Thank you,
Mark. All right, buddy. All right. Wow, that should...
He was in the wrong theater, right?
How long does it take to really realize that? You know what I mean? I mean, he's sitting there, and maybe he doesn't know who Edward R. Murrow is. People, I'm very happy to have this next guest on. I'm happy to meet him. We are part of this family together. Harrison hosts Harrison on the Edge here on Progressive Talk, AM 1150. It airs from 7 p.m. to 10 p.m. Saturday evenings. Nice to meet you, Harrison.
Thanks. You too, Mark, and welcome to fabulous Los Angeles. It only improves by having you here.
Oh, that's so nice. I felt a lot of warmth, but I've never gotten that nice an introduction since I've been here at this building. I appreciate it. So now you've got... I know some people who have talked to Gore Vidal, but I don't know. I've never heard him interviewed, and I'm very excited that you have him. So how did that go? When did you do it?
It was extraordinary. You know, there's like 10 people on planet Earth I've wanted to interview. You know, Chomsky, so I've done him. Howard Zinn, so I've done, you know, Dr. Helen Caldicott. Gandhi, dead. Martin Luther King, dead. Okay, that's not going to happen.
Get a Ouija board.
I've tried that, but it's never what you want. That's the problem.
Yeah,
you can't control the planchette.
Yeah,
you know
right,
I mean.
Right. I do.
And so Gore Vidal was one of them, but he's never available. He either lives in Italy or whatever, and you occasionally hear him on the phone. Well, I got to go over to his house today.
Today you did it?
And drink hot cocoa and visit with Gore Vidal.
What does he live? He's got a place here?
He's got a nice pad.
I bet he does.
Yes.
So you're hanging out with Gore Vidal. You're having some hot cocoa, and you're talking about what?
Well, we talked about really what's going to be going on tomorrow afternoon at 4, which is going to be at the Emmanuel Presbyterian Church, which is on Wilshire, right around Western area. And Scott Ritter, the former UN weapons inspector.
I've interviewed him. Nice guy.
He's great, isn't he?
Yeah.
He's got a new book coming out.
Mm-hmm.
And so Gore's going to be talking to Scott about that book. And this is really rare. I mean, Gore interviewing somebody else about literature.
Mm-hmm.
It's kind of like having Shakespeare digging up the body of Geoffrey Chaucer and asking about the Miller's Tale.
Yeah.
Wouldn't that be bawdy as hell, right? That,
it'd be kind of scary, but it'd be good.
Definitely so. So that's going to be going on tomorrow. And, of course, KTLK, we're going to be there. I'm going to be there moderating the thing. And so with the little chin wag we had with Gore today, we talked a little about Bush's drinking. Because, as you know, he's besotten. He's ossified. He's like, he's boiled as a goat now. I mean, it's embarrassing.
Is that your take on it? You believe that he's back on the sauce big time? Have you heard gossip or heard any validation of that?
As a matter of fact, we had Larry Flint on our show, mm-hmm. and he absolutely confirmed what has been published already in, sadly, the National Enquirer initially, but then subsequent reports. But he confirmed he's got buddies in the White House. He's got a lot of money. He's got a lot of influence.
He's hitting the bottle again, huh?
Yeah, he's hitting the bottle, and he's swearing. He's saying, F you. He's saying, kiss my fanny.
I knew he was on drugs. I always thought that, you know, because of his connection to Big Pharma, that they had concocted some sort of special presidential antidepressant / focuser for him.
Oh, I want a presidential antidepressant.
Yes, he's got it.
I need one of those against him. But, you know, you're right. The White House physician, not even a year ago, put him on doggy downers or something. And if you remember the great imbroglio of the wire running down his back, up his butt, however that thing worked, with the walkie-talkie, that thing.
The pack.
Do you remember he strolled out, and it was like that Star Trek, the Captain Kirk era, mm-hmm. the episode of that leader, that Nazi leader with the glazed eyes acting. It was like that.
And his jaw started going because he's on the, you know, the Wellbutrin methamphetamine thing. No, he's got that weird blow jaw, you know, that like cocaine jaw thing?
Blow jaw.
Yeah.
I like that. We all need that, right?
So we got, did you bring some little tidbits?
Got a little clip from this afternoon at home with Gore Vidal.
I've got a couple of chums around the White House who say, you know, his drinking is so out of control again, and that Laura is now staying at the Mayflower Hotel a lot. She's gaining weight because she's miserable. She's smoking cigarettes.
This great nation will lead the world, and we will be successful.
No, you won't. You certainly will not be successful, you idiot. I told you not to say that in public. And here you go babbling away. Yes, again, that was a George W. Bush doll that I just played on the air. For the delectation of your listeners.
It's a pity that it's not soft enough to drive pins into.
Oh, he's a great hero, a great statesman.
And a wartime president. We're very blessed about that.
A wartime president. But I think we should all, now that if he's back to drinking again, I think we should all send him a bottle of bourbon. He'll be happier. He'll stay out of our way. He'll spend more time on the ranch clearing brush, as they call it. There he's clearing brush. You know it's the cocktail hour.
Do you know, I think we could seriously get possibly millions of cases of liquor. Easily, people would be more than thrilled to drive it in their personal automobiles and dump it off on the White House lawn, and he would be so busy and happy.
I believe in making people happy, because then they don't make you unhappy. They're too busy with their own joy.
That is Harrison, who hosts Harrison on the Edge. He's here in the studio, and he brought a little tidbit of his interview with Gore Vidal that he did at Gore's house today. It sounded very engaging, and I need to integrate the word delectation into my vocabulary.
I love it.
Wow, man. That guy's got some words.
And, you know, he's just so wonderfully erudite. It's like sitting with Oscar Wilde, but an mm-hmm. American version.
Sure.
He sits back, and you can see him just sort of sucking on the words before they come out. And that fine, that magnificent, heavy, weighty brain cooking in there. It's a hell of an experience.
I was trying to write something today, and I couldn't get a word out of my head. And 2 hours later, I'm in the car, and I'm like, hasten. Hasten is the word I was looking for. I couldn't remember the word hasten. Like, my vocabulary is good, but I don't write enough for it to be active all the time. So what else you got on the show tomorrow?
Tomorrow we have the Dixie Chicks, who are going to be coming on, and they're going to be talking about good pickup lines for guys. Because, I mean, let's face it, most guys say just really stupid stuff like, hey, you want to... That's a little,
sure.
before, a little
yeah,
too
yeah,
much
yeah,
right
yeah.
off the bat. So they're going to give their advice as Dixie Chicks women, progressive women, what progressive chicks want to hear and how you score a bullseye by using their liners. So steal them and use them, right?
Yeah, I don't think I ever had a set pickup line pattern or I never had much game in that department. I always look for the people that like me and said, there's one. and then just talk to them.
Yeah. Well, you know, you absolutely hit a bullseye, and I completely agree. One of the great fallacies is, for instance, you go to a Starbucks, and everyone's sitting there on their laptop. Somebody walks in the door, all the eyes flash up. And you know the laptops don't even have a machinery in them, no keyboard, nothing.
Posers.
And the fantasy is that Prince Charming or Mrs. Whatever comes flying through the door and rescues you from your hell.
Sure.
And the only way you ever get your hand shaken is by putting it out.
Yeah.
And that's exactly what you said, and that always works. People respect people that have, balls.
Yeah, I think that if the chemistry is undeniable, that it will compel you to step right up and make a fool out of yourself if necessary. But if it's there, that's the best. That's the best. That's not true, actually. Sometimes you want to fight for it, too. Have you ever had that where you just like, you know, the person doesn't like you and you just keep at it?
Yeah. Well, you know, it's that lion chasing the lion thing.
Yeah,
it's
that
hunter gatherer thing.
I guess so. I've definitely had that a couple of times. Well, look, folks, Harrison's got this great Gore Vidal interview tomorrow. It sounds very funny, very compelling and very candid. The Dixie Chicks as well.
Right.
Some pickup line advice. I got to listen now. Thank you for joining us,
Harrison.
You're
welcome. Hey, great meeting you, Mark.
It's great meeting you, too,
man.
I'm glad to be here. It's 19 past. We'll be back in a second. We got Bush's radio address coming up, and we got our guy at the movies who's actually going to be reviewing during the movie if he's in the right theater. So stay with us on Progressive Talk 1150.
Back to a man who embraces the challenges of the outdoors, Mark Maron.
Good God, Jim. I do embrace the challenges of the outdoors.
I know that, Mark.
Every day.
Every day.
I go out and look at the outdoors and I go, it's so big. I am so small.
And you embrace life.
I do. You're listening to Progressive Talk, AM 1150. Go to markmaron.com, MarcMaron.com. There's a party there. Right now, we got a guy at the movies. We got our guy, Paul Rust, who is a real-time movie reviewer. We are breaking new ground on radio. He's at Good Night and Good Luck, and let's check in with him. Paul, what's happening in the film, my friend?
Well, right now, Edward R. Murrow, his uncle, yep, that's right, his uncle, he died.
What do you...
And now Murrow has to spend the night in a haunted house to inherit it. Yes.
What the hell are you talking about? I mean, I saw the movie. I don't remember that. I don't understand what you're talking about.
No, I said a large Sprite.
Okay. Wait a minute, Paul. Wait, Paul.
Can you, what?
You're at the concession stand. Come on, man. You're supposed to be the movie guy.
Okay, Mark. The movie's pretty boring, okay? And I just wanted some Sour Patch Kids.
Well, so how long are you spending out there? You're just making stuff up now? I mean, can you just get your food and go back in the movie and let's try and pull this together and get a good close on this thing? Because we want to do this again, Paul.
It's very boring. Yes, I can give it a shot.
Just go finish the film and we'll call you in a few. I guess we'll get back to you in about 15 minutes to find out how it ends and see if we can close this up with a little juice, all right?
Can I bring the Sour Patch Kids?
I don't know what movie theater yet. Yeah, you can. You're allowed to eat in the theater. Come
on. Thank you.
Buddy. I'll talk to you in a minute. Man, I thought that was going to work out so much better. He can't even watch the whole damn movie.
So, what was he watching? It sounds like he was watching The Ghost in Mr. Chicken or something.
I don't even know what the hell he's watching. Patton's on deck. He's got his dog out there. He's going to be in here in a few minutes. I guess he's bringing the dog in the room, Patton Oswalt and his dog. I wonder if they're doing an act. Kind of like Otto and George. It's Patton and his dog.
The dog's going to speak into the microphone?
I don't even know what the hell kind of dog is that.
Ooh.
Yeah.
Yeah,
he's going to talk exactly like every other dog on television.
Brandon Rifford from Bremen.
Yeah. Folks, this is amazing, people. You probably know that President Bush delivers a weekly radio address to the nation every Saturday. But you might not know that he tapes a speech the day before, obviously. That's what our president does. God forbid he do it in the present. Well, we've got a guy who managed to snag the recording for us, and we're going to play it for you right now. Is that a scoop or rut? Is that a scoop or rut, Scooby?
It's a scoop, Skipper.
Do it in the dog voice. It's a scoop.
That's a scoop.
Yeah. All right. Well, here, before anyone else hears it, President Bush's weekly radio address.
My fellow America, I speak to you today on a matter of vital importance. There's been some concerns raised by concerners out there regarding a potential threat to the safety of our domestic from overseas. Let me cut right to the chin. The deal to lease our ports to Dubai must go forward. To those who would have us withdraw from the world into isolationistism, let me just remind you, that We cannot do that. I'm fully aware of defending the homelands. I understand that. But it is important to remember that we will maintain security over the security of our ports. Some have said that Dubai have connections to terror in September 9/11. Let me just say that if any Dubaiers was involved in terror, we can rest assured that they already killed themselves. We must make moves to ensure our trade incomes continues to income. If there's no saying down in Texas, if money ain't coming in, you can bet your belt it's not going out. I remain committed to jobs where people can work. That's what a job is. I know that and understand it's a problem. But we are outsourcing this port job to Dubai because it is jobs that the Dubaiers will do for cheaper. And that's vitally important to the system of the American system. Our nation remains good, and our strength remains strong. And it's going to stay that way. God bless the United States.
Thank God. You know, how was that? Is that a scoop or what? George Bush's radio address a day early? How do you like that? Man, he's retarded. There's something wrong with that guy. I think he's retarded. I'm not going to do that, though. I'm not even going to give him the luxury of calling him a retard. All right. Not only because it's not politically correct to say retard, although my listeners know that I love that word, but it makes Bush seem like a victim. I'm not going to give it to him. I swear to God, J. Marvin, all day today. And I got nothing against J. Marvin. We're on the same team. But he had that guy, Otto Frank, on, the guy who wrote on Bush on the couch. He was just the whole day. He's like, I think there's something wrong with him. Who cares? It's his responsibility. It's his watch. He goes down for whatever happens. I'm not going to let that guy, I'm not going to say, oh, look at the poor president. He's retarded and he's infantile and he can't keep his pants up. I'm not going to do that. Am I right, Patton?
I'm with you 100%.
Wait, turn on that. Wait, where's it? Get talking to the mic. What? All right, well, is his mic on now?
Can you hear me?
Wow. Jason Stein, Jew from Wisconsin, this guy.
Nice.
Looking out for you while you're drinking your water.
So if you're here, there's no Jews there then, right?
Oh, that is nice. Good. Because there's only one. That's a joke in that. There's only one Jew is the joke Patton's making on that one.
There's one.
Deconstruction. I missed this, Mark. I missed that so much.
So let's talk about the photo shoot over at King of Queens in a minute. And you play Spence. I didn't know the character even had a name. I thought you were the couch. I said that once before. All right, Patton Oswalt. I know. Yeah, but no one heard it the first time. Patton Oswalt will be here. Stick around. You're listening to Progressive Talk, AM 1150.
And now back to one of the most storied and respected figures in journalism, Mark Maron.
Thank you, Jim Earle. Thank you, people. 36 past the hour. You're listening to Progressive Talk, AM 1150. You can blog with the party of bloggers at markmaron.com, MARCMARON.com. You can call the show, 877-520-1150. That's 1150, 877-520-1150. Or you can try the super secret number we put on the blog last night. Hey, if you're out there, gentle giant, Paul, shake the mouse out there so I can see the phone numbers. Ah, there it is. Thank you so much. So the Dukester is going to the big house to do some real time. That's Randy Duke Cunningham, who was sentenced to 8 years and 4 months out of a possible 10 today for accepting around $2.5 million worth of houses, yachts, antiques, a Rolls Royce, and cash from military contractors, primarily for doing their bidding by moving big military contracts their way when he was a California congressman for 15 years. He pleaded guilty to tax evasion and conspiracy charges back in November, and the gavel came down today. The judge was like, I don't care if you have prostate cancer. I don't care if you flew Navy planes. It's over, you ass. And not only that, you got nothing. You feel satisfied about that, Patton Oswalt?
I'm just happy that he has to auction off all his French antiques on eBay.
Yeah.
And I so want on that sale. Apparently they're on eBay now. He collected French commodes.
He collected commodes?
Antique French commodes. That was like a huge thing that he spent his money on.
This is the Dukester's fascination. He's getting all this big dough. Yeah. So he's saying, what do you think that implies about him, about his self-image? I want to be surrounded by antique toilets.
Antique French toilets.
French toilets.
I want old French toilets.
Did he have them all plugged up to the plumbing in his house?
I
can poop anywhere.
Randy make a big mess.
You guys should get on. You should bid. There should be a French commode in here in the studio, man. One of Randy's commodes.
Yeah, well, I think we can get one in here. We should have it right here and just put. What the hell is a French commode? They have bidets and commodes, right?
Yeah.
The bidet thing always kind of frightened me. Have you ever been in a hotel with a bidet and you're like,
once.
Did you try it?
When I was in Paris, they had a bidet and I tried it.
And how was it?
All it does, it doesn't clean your ass. Like, it's angled, so it just hits your taint. So yeah. All it does is just get you wet, so you got to clean yourself off again. It doesn't do anything.
But kind of feels nice, doesn't it?
No.
You're like, ooh.
I don't want anything sprayed up my ass. I don't want that.
Come on, man. Live a little. You only go around once, you know? This is a finite
you
ride.
You can't say live a little about an appliance that, like, middle-aged housewives have in their home in France. Like, that's not walking on the wild side if a whole country does it every morning.
Yeah, but it's different for us.
Yeah, that's true.
You know what I mean? So it looks like they're all going to start going down. I think it's just terrific. And we were talking about this on the break. I mean, there are so many. You've got DeLay. He's going down and charges a criminal conspiracy. I think they're going to nail him. Bill Frist, majority House Senate leader, is under investigation by the SEC for dumping stocks in his own company. Cheney, Scooter Libby, busted for perjury. He's going down.
He's going down.
Bob Ney of Ohio, subpoenaed in the Jack and the Indians investigation.
Oh, he did? He was?
Yeah, he was. That guy's dirty. He would, you know, Jack Abramoff would send him a few bucks, and he'd get things in the congressional record, anything he wanted.
Nice.
Right up the chain of command to Gail Norton in the Department of the Interior, who's dirty. I say we get Bush for torture and wiretapping. He might be impeached. There's talk about that. John Conyers is putting something together.
That's right. Apparently all this week it's now starting to the I word is starting to make itself heard, not just in Congress, but like in the media, on these talk shows, on these Fox shows. Guests are coming on going, yeah, he needs to be impeached, and the host just can't.
It's great, and what you were talking about before, and some people are blogging about it, but apparently I missed it because I'm not constantly plugged into the television. What is this story? What happened? Your point about on the break where you're talking about all these right-wing talking heads, their ratings are going down, number one.
Oh,
and
yeah.
Because they have tethered themselves to this ship, they have no choice but to go down with it. I don't know who's starting to distance themselves from them, but Bill O'Reilly freaked out today.
He had a huge freak out where apparently he's having Fox security call people in their homes when people call into his show and just disagree. They're just going, hey, Bill, I kind of disagree with this. Or they'll mention Keith Olbermann. One guy called in and said, I want to thank you for turning me on to Keith Olbermann. That show's great. And Bill got really angry. And then these security people are calling people in their homes saying, yeah, Bill O'Reilly said you called his show like 50 times a day, cursed him out on the air. You may be up for FCC violations. And someone's going, no, I called once. That's it. What are you talking about?
So he's sicking these people on
he's
people.
He's just sicking thugs on people to threaten them if they call in and disagree with
him. Well, he's a big fraud, that guy. And
oh,
I think that the ones that are paid to deliver talking points, like Rush and Hannity and those cats, I can't wait to see when they start crumbling. It's going to be beautiful because the hubris of this administration and reaching and using them as these propaganda outlets, that they're going to be the ones that they're going to have to, like everyone else, like all these legislators who were turning their back on Bush in the ports deal, the Republicans, they're going to have to do that eventually. They're going to have to hang that guy out to dry if they want a career for themselves.
Totally.
It's going to be great.
Well, it's like when the bully goes down, the bully's little pal gets it 10 times worse, you know, because everyone's like, awesome, we're going to stomp this guy. Like, the bully just goes down once, but the bully's little pal goes down every day for the rest of the school year.
Yeah, because they were relying on the bully to take the hit for him.
So then people just, you know, murder that guy. So yeah, like Rush Limbaugh is having these on-air freakouts where I was telling Jim last week, he's the last guy defending the port deal, by the way.
Yeah.
He's the last guy. Even like Ann Coulter and Tucker Carlson and Scarborough are like, he's out of his mind. This is the dumbest thing I've ever seen. For those guys to say that, that shows you how bad this deal is.
It shows such a lack of concern for the future of the country in the sense that it's just a short-term gain for him and his friends.
Him
billions
and his pals.
Of dollars. Yeah.
That's it. But Rush Limbaugh will not back down in this. It's Bush. Bush, drunk or sober, right or wrong, whatever. So one of his ditto heads called into the show and was saying, hey, look, I know you got to support the president. We got to be a unified country. But, I mean, I thought that these Emirates, don't they have connections to Al-Qaeda? And then Rush goes, all right, right, but listen, so what you're saying is a canister is going to get put on the docks and it's going to open up and an F-16 is going to fly out and start strafing everyone on the dock. And then goes, no, they no, they think they're going to put a bomb in it. Rush goes, I'm through with this conversation, and hangs up on the guy.
Give me my OxyContin. Where's my Oxy guy? Get the Oxy guy. Call Raimondo.
It's so fun to watch every night now Bill O'Reilly and Keith Olbermann. It almost seems like it's scripted, like when Andy Kaufman was wrestling. I almost think these guys have worked this out to get their ratings up. Well, Olbermann is just making O'Reilly his bitch every night. It's beautiful.
And what you were saying, it's awesome when these type of people have nothing to fall back on. And that's what I've been telling people now. If you have conservative friends, if they have any amount of a brain in their head, whatever they were defending is done. It's gone. It's all turned out to be lies. They've been completely hung out to dry to whatever myths they were believing in. And all you should say to them, if they're hanging on to any dream that these guys are their guys and they're good for conservatism or the right wing is what they believe in, you should just look at them and say, you know, I'm concerned about you a little bit. I'm a little concerned because it's irrational, and I don't know if you're thinking properly.
People that are still, nothing wrong with being conservative, but people that still support the Bush administration, you're like Styx fans, but Mr. Roboto has just come out, and you're still going, this is a great album, and you're like, no, it's... They blew it. It's done. They blew it. You can't, it's
They're
done.
They're still hanging on, though.
No, dude. It's all over. Just move on. It's okay. There's other groups.
But Mr. Roboto was fun to watch. It's like
this is fun to watch.
They're literally, I think, afraid to detach because their life will have no meaning. What it implies about them, their commitment, their loyalty, is basically fanatical now. It's based in nothing but either they have a sports mentality where they're like, it's still our team, damn it, and we're going to stick with the team, or they're just like, he's all good. There's everyone's misunderstanding him.
What are you talking about? He's done so much. What's amazing about Bush is I actually think that he's incompetent and fumbling. I don't think he's evil. I think that he sets out with the best intentions in mind, and nothing ever works for him.
I'm not doing that. I'm not going to get on board with anybody making that guy look to be anything of a victim of anything.
No, I don't say victim. I mean, I don't say victim. I mean, he is completely incompetent. He wants so hard to do well, and he can't.
No, I don't think that's true. I think he is an empty vessel. I think he is a retarded scion of privilege who was given this opportunity only because he somehow or another had enough bully charisma and sort of tough love charm to be the front man for an evil cabal of greed demons. I can't dismiss from the fact, I don't care what his integrity is as a human being, because I don't think he has any. I refuse to see him as a sympathetic character, even though I may understand some of his problems. He's still got to take the fall. I don't want to get involved in any of this language where Bush is sort of like, yeah, but he's just this guy who's got the... No, he is responsible.
I'm not defending him.
I'm not going to let it be a sympathetic character.
If we use the evil cabal theory, let's go back in time when the evil cabal was picking their spokesman. Why did they pick this guy? I mean, to talk to him privately, he is apparently that empty. Did they think that this would... Like, they must have access to much slicker, smarter, even more charismatic people that will do their bidding.
But look at Reagan. Look how that charm works, in the sense that if you are simple and you are truly simple, truly simple, and you have enough of some sort of strange charm that people identify that simplicity with strength, that ignorance with courage, then that's your guy. Because you can just fill him up whatever you need and throw him out there. Just fill him up. Put these things in his head and he'll go do it. And he does it and he commits to it and there's nothing behind it. Yet people who think that strength and think that's focus are like, he's just a regular guy like us and he's speaking for us.
Well, that is the majority of the country.
The difference between stupidity and courage is very foggy sometimes.
Yeah.
And I think that he is really just a front man, and he's been in the saddest thing about it is that it's his father's part of that cabal. It's almost like this weird, family Manchurian candidate thing. I bet you I have actually had strange, weird fantasies. They're not fantasies, where George Bush, who used to be the CEO of a pharmaceutical company, Eli Lilly, literally said, let's shoot my son up with whatever's necessary. right. to make him president.
Yeah.
And I know they play this off like they're not getting along, or, you know, he's distanced himself from his father, but I think that's crap. I think his father is in complete cahoots with Cheney, is in complete cahoots with the Carlyle Group and James Baker and everybody who seeks to make money off of anything in the Middle East. I wouldn't be surprised. Like, look, Bush is over there meeting with Musharraf today in Pakistan. And in my head, you know, I know that he's sitting there just going, hey, Mushy, listen, I think it's time to play the Osama card. I would not be surprised if Air Force One hits the tarmac, the door opens, and Bush just kicks a bounding gag bin Laden down the stairs onto the red carpet and said, who's your daddy? And just comes down, hey, let's get those points up back up. Let's get it up for 34. And people
will
do it.
So you think, like, Bush is at the Dubai Four Seasons right now talking to Osama going, look, could you just – do me a solid.
Yeah, fly home with me.
It's almost like when they put Chewie in the cuffs in Star Wars, like, just put the cuffs on, we'll just march you in, man.
Yeah.
And we'll let you go. Don't worry about it. Like, what he's doing.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. We'll take care of you. We got the nice prison.
Yeah, exactly.
We got a dialysis machine there for you. We're all set.
It'll be really good.
You know, we'll make it so it's comfortable for you.
We
You're 9 feet tall.
We T-voted the whole season of Veronica Mars. I know you haven't been watching that. It's so good. And we got the first season on DVD. We got it all TiVo. You can just sit and watch it.
And you know, maybe we'll put you in one of those cargo canisters and have you go home that way, and I'll find you when we get to Washington. I'll drive to Newark, and we'll find you in the canister. It'll be fun.
Wouldn't that be cool?
Where's Bin Laden?
You know what? I'll find you on the 12th, the night the Sopranos premieres. It'll be nice synergy. It'll happen in Newark. The Sopranos premiere, then right afterwards, boom, there I am with Osama. Well, I'll get Gandolfini in on it. It'll be awesome.
We'll get all of them there. Little Steven, maybe Springsteen will play. That's going to happen. So, hang out, Patton.
I want to talk about the Oscars really quick when we come back.
No, I'd like to talk about that animal you brought.
Oh,
kind of dog is that?
It's a little French bulldog.
A French bulldog?
Yes.
What are you, a wussy?
A freedom bulldog. Wait,
why'd you get an English bulldog like regular people?
Oh, it's too trendy.
Really? Oh, those are trendy?
Yeah, yeah.
And they're also like, they're genetically weird. They get too fat to walk.
That's why I like them.
All right. So we're talking to Patton Oswalt. We will come back and do more of that. We're going to talk about the Oscars, more politics. We got to check back in with that movie reviewer guy at the who's over at the ArcLight now watching Good Night and Good Luck. I hope he's back in the theaters. 49 past the hour, Progressive Talk, 11:50 a.m.
And now back to an amorphous blob of protoplasm living off electrical impulses and saline solution, Mark Barron.
Oh, thank you, Jim Earl. It's 54 past the hour. You're listening to Progressive Talk, AM 1150. You can go to markmarron.com. That's MARCMARON.com. Big party going on there tonight on Friday. 877-520-1150 is the number here in the studio if you want to call us up. Let's check back in with our buddy Paul Rust, who's down there at the... at the ArcLight. He's doing an in-theater review of Good Night and Good Luck. Paul, what's happening, Paul?
Mark, I know I should be quiet, but this movie is too exciting, okay?
Oh,
it says Edward R. Murrow has just been demoted, okay?
Yeah.
And him and Fred Friendly are not happy about this.
Uh-huh.
In fact, they are quite disenchanted.
Shut up. You're ruining the movie.
Okay. Hey, this is a free country, buddy, okay? Don't try to censor me.
All right.
Censor me, you McCarthyite. I'm a Murrow here, baby.
All right. All right, Paul, maybe I'd get out of theater there before you get hurt. How would that be?
Yeah, maybe.
So the movie really picked up, and I'm glad you got excited. It sounds very compelling. I think you made it really interesting for everybody.
Yeah, Mark, I'm not one for hyperbole, but this movie is blowing my mind.
All right, man. Well, thank you for doing the first Mark Maron Show real-time movie review, Paul. We'll try it again later.
Thank you.
Okay, buddy, take care.
You too.
All right. Did you see that movie, Patton? Did you see Good Night and Good
Luck?
Yes. Patton Oswalt is with us.
Yep.
You know, I don't even want to read your credits. You're a funny man, and I've known you for a long time, but I'll go ahead and read them anyway.
No, they're so boring. Who cares?
The people that don't know you, they're like, hey, who is that guy that's talking with Mark? He sounds smart and funny.
But I'm one of the guys that, like, if you read my credits, they know who I am even less. I'm like, what? Oh, okay.
He's the guy on The King of Queens. He plays Spence. What? And
just said that so like, oh, this will clear everything up.
Yeah, and he was the comedians of comedy tour that got some big attention. People like that.
Yeah,
and I of course have been resenting you for 15 years now.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
Well, you've got your thumb on the pulse of the nation, so that's
oh come on. We go way back. I remember Patton used to do a joke with a Gordian knot reference in it.
Gordian knot.
I still don't know what the hell a Gordian knot is.
It's what Alexander cut when he...
Alexander the Great, yeah.
Oh, see, now, okay, so I'm the idiot, huh?
Jim used to make fun of me for saying ichthos symbol.
Ichthos symbol?
You said it on stage. You went on after me at Cobb's, and it was you and Barry, and then you kept going, ichthos symbol, like into the mic.
Ichthos symbol.
It was either that or Zeitgeist, probably...
Zeitgeist is a good one. Did you use Zeitgeist?
I never use Zeitgeist.
I think I've used Zeitgeist. Did you ever use, like, Simulcrum?
What's that?
I think it's Jean Baudrillard, the postmodern word for so I think it's called simulcra or simulcrum.
Oh, I thought it was pronounced simacrulorum. I bet I was mispronouncing it.
I have a vague understanding for it. It's the hyper-real. It's not the real. It's what you think is real but really isn't. It's very deep, man.
Wow.
It's sort of like what we were talking about. The reality of the Republicans, the Republican reality that they are trying to create, the mythos that they've tried to plant in the brains of the country, in the brains of the ignorant, in the brains of the Christo fascists is starting to dissolve.
Nice.
So we're going to talk, keep talking to Patton. Yeah. You got an Oscar story, and I like having you here. It's 57 past the hour. You're listening to Progressive Talk, AM 1150. It's the Mark Maron Show.
Live from Burbank, California, home of Eve Plum, the only Brady who likes sex, it's the Mark Maron Show. Now he's currently under investigation by the Securities and Exchange Commission. Mark Maron!
All right, finally I'm under investigation. They're not going to find anything. I got nothing. I got four cats. I got nothing.
I've seen your estate.
Yeah, my estate.
Xanadu, massive Meridu.
You should go over to the Oswald compound. Patton Oswald has one of the nicest stoves I've ever seen in my life.
What?
Antique stove?
I have an antique stove.
O'Keefe and Merritt?
And you have a...
Yes, it's an O'Keefe and Merritt.
Is it really?
Yep.
Yeah, see, how do you like that?
I have, if you watch Good Night and Good Luck, the stove that the guy commits suicide in, that's my stove.
Wow, that must feel great.
So that's like a nice visual to have every morning.
So you can you can have a retro suicide?
Yeah, totally.
It's like Patton killed himself, but he's so cool.
Oh,
he did it in Keefe and what is it?
Keefe and Merritt.
No, it's a beautiful stove. Yeah, I do recall you had a wonderful backyard barbecue machine as well.
Yes.
And you have the little guesty kind of like compound house back there where you go and write and
that's right.
And count your comic books.
Well, I don't need to count them. I know the count, but I do change the poly bags because the acid content of the backing boards can cause a bit of a spine roll, and that will turn a mint comic to a VG, which is very good in the Overstreet's Guide.
Patton Oswalt, you got me locked back into the comic thing.
Hell yeah.
I
dragged you right back in.
It was so easy, too, man. You just sent me that big old gift package, and I'm like, oh, and they look like ones that he actually owned. They were in their little packages, too. Did you buy those for me?
I had I'm pitching a series at DC. So they go, well, here are the series that we think are really, really good, and you should read these for... So they sent me just this huge box of all the stuff that I had missed. So I started just devouring all this stuff, and the two that really stood out were Queen and Country, which I sent you, and then another one called Fables, which I gave to another friend because it's all about, like, fairy tales and stuff. And then there's another one called The Losers.
That's what I'm in. I'm in The Losers.
It's good, and then it gets great in near the end where they go on this riff about what America actually is and the history of the country.
It's also the characters and the sort of desperado fact of these they're a renegade covert ops group.
Except it's as much of an action film as it is, it's totally, totally plausible. It's really weird.
Well, it's completely plausible that a guy named Max, who's really Satan, is running everything. It is.
Oh, yeah. Well, wait till you see what they do with Max at the end. It's unbelievable.
But I haven't been stuck in comics. I went through a brief period of about a year or two where I got all the Hellblazers and the Sandman, and I got off into I wasn't one of these people early on who did the Superman-Batman thing. I came to it late in life, not unlike I came to Iggy and the Stooges and a couple of other things. Way past class of fact, but I'm certainly glad I did. So we're talking about, you want to talk about the Oscars, and we were talking about Jon Stewart and whether he's going to, whether he's going to be able to slip in. I think, I don't think there's any way that guy can do a bad job at this point in his career.
Yeah, I haven't seen him, make a bad movie. Fail. I mean, and he's really smart. He doesn't fail because he's smart and he thinks things out and cares about the funny.
What do you think about that, Jim?
Let's hear from the bitter bus.
I can't say anything. Comedy Central, it's in my legal agreement. They'll sue me. You know, it's one of those things. We'll let you go, Jim, as long as you sign this. And
my wife is at an Oscar party as we speak, a pre-Oscar party.
What?
My buddy, now it's not my buddy, you're my buddy, but her buddy is Paul Olson. Josh Olson, the guy who wrote A History of Violence. They write together.
The comic book.
Right, but he wrote the movie, the screenplay from the movie.
Okay, well, that's a nice segue. I got a... This sounds so weird to say this. I got a call today from Dustin Hoffman. Called me at home.
Patton. This is Dustin.
Yes, that's exactly what he sounded like. And he was really nice and really funny. He's presenting the award for Best Adapted Screenplay, which includes History of Violence.
Josh Olson.
And, yes, Josh Olson. So,
Patton.
Ben Stiller called me earlier this week and said, look, I got to say something because he's presenting visual effects, and the thing they wrote for me isn't really funny. Can you think of something funny to say? So I sent him something that he liked, and then he was talking to Dustin Hoffman, and Dustin goes, I don't like what I'm saying here. He goes, you should call my friend Pat, and he'll try to write something with you.
Yeah.
So I was on the phone for like an hour with Dustin.
Are you trying to seduce me, Patton Oswalt?
I just said Dustin. I was on the phone with Dustin. Dust Dog calls up, and we're writing. But he was really, really nice. And then, but now I'm very paranoid because I really sold this idea to him. Like, here's what you should say. And then he was like, yeah, that's real. I like that. And now, and then I'm going to be in New York next week, and so is he. And he goes, yeah. You know, I have to do the 200th episode of Inside the Actor's Studio. We should go. Like, if you want to come with me, it's a nightmare, but you should really see it once in your life. I'm like, that sounds really fun. But
so you're going to be walking through New York with Dustin Hoffman.
Yes.
Just waiting for him to go, I'm walking here.
Exactly. But here's the thing. If what he says Sunday
sucks,
I know that he will not call me and hang out with me. So I'm going to be watching the Oscars very nervous.
But that's such a – it's just between you and him. It's not like he's going to do it and no one's going to laugh. He's going to go, thanks a lot, Patton Oswalt, for setting
that
me
up. That would be nice. Why didn't I tell him to plug my Caroline's gig? That would have been – that was, by the way, written by
Patton Oswalt.
You can see him Thursday through Saturday at the Caroline's
in New York. Thank you very much. So that's
very
exciting.
Really funny. He was really nice.
I'm sure he is. He's one of the greats. He's a guy that has strung along a career fairly well, and he can do almost anything. I've actually never seen him be bad. Even in Outbreak, which was a bad movie, and he played some sort of colonel, he was actually pretty good.
Well, you can always spot a good actor when they are in something that doesn't work, and they can elevate it, like when Denzel Washington so deserved the Oscar for Training Day, because Training Day is not a great movie, and he made it great because his performance is so unbelievable.
When you're working with a talent drain like Ethan Hawke, who's just like in every scene sucking the energy off the screen, I literally felt like there was part of me that's like, what's happening to me? Why do I have this weird feeling? And it was him, just an energy vacuum. He looks like, go ahead, never mind.
But like Dustin's been great in stuff that studios didn't even get behind, and now are like movies like, if you see like Straight Time, which is like every indie movie made now, except it was made in the early 70s.
That's a great movie.
It's so unbelievable. And the studio was like, we're not getting... I think he sued the studio. It was like, you guys are idiots. You should have promoted this movie. This would have been huge.
And Little Big Man, turn that thing on. Turn that thing
so
on.
So great.
This was an old Indian killer like Jack Crabb. Turn that thing on.
But it's also hard to talk to someone like that because as a movie nerd, I want to keep firing these questions at him, but I just stayed on... You know, okay, I'm just going to work on this.
So here's what you should say, but before I tell you, when you were doing Papillon, okay, with Steve McQueen, and you guys were on top of that mountain, that was, did you really have to, you're a method actor, did you really put the money in your butt? Do you have rocks in your shoes?
If I get to hang out with him in New York next week, I'm going to ask him 8 million questions. He'll never want to
see. Is one of them going to be, is it safe?
Yes, I will ask him that.
Oh, no, it's very safe. You should definitely go there. It's very safe. Is it safe? No, it's not safe. It's very dangerous. Very dangerous. I love Dustin Hoffman, man.
So that's a good Oscar score. A good Oscar score.
It's very.
See, right when I get past 12 o'clock, Ben, all bets are off.
Wow,
dude.
You turn into a pumpkin.
It starts getting giddy.
Yeah.
So we're gonna have someone come in and sweep the names you just dropped, and so
yeah,
we're gonna
exactly. By the way, Brian Dennehy's waiting out front. Drove me here.
Oh, that's a good one. Yeah. He probably did drive you here, Brian Dennehy.
Actually, I have a really good Brian Dennehy story.
Good.
I got to go to the premiere of Batman Begins when I was in London. So after I'm going to this after party. And
do you have a nerd T-shirt that you wear when you go out?
No.
All right, good.
So we're all hanging out, and and Brian Dennehy walks in and goes, "Hey, I've watched The King of Queens." I was like, "Oh, wow, thanks, man." And I'm like, "I'm a huge fan of yours. You know, I didn't know where to start." He goes, "Oh, thanks. We're just talking about, you know, stuff." And and then all the stars of the movie are there, and they're like, there's this sumptuous buffet of like sushi and like macaroni and cheese in these little like cups.
You're so funny with sushi too. You're like, "Yeah, I remember you brought me the place where it came
around
in boats."
Don't even just hush.
Okay.
So then none of the – all these, like, super cut, skinny stars are all avoiding the food. And then I'm at the sushi bar just shoveling sushi in my mouth. And Brian – then he comes up behind me and goes, "Character actors! We can be fat. Who cares?" And he starts grabbing this sushi, and I felt so happy. He's like, "Yeah!"
And he's huge, too. Isn't he, like, the size of a house?
Yeah, but he's, like – he's not fat huge. He's
football
just
player
a huge guy.
Yeah. Hey, 877-520-1150 if you want to talk to Pat. Oswald, I'll give you the opportunity right now. Let's play Stump Patton. Comic book trivia. That's the game. Stump Patton with comic book trivia. I'm just trying to get someone to call.
God.
I'm feeling abandoned.
Oh, dude.
Is that the trivia music? Are we going? We're going to go to a break now? Is that the deal? Oh, there it is. That's great.
Nice.
Okay, here, how about this one? Who wrote the second incarnation of Batman?
Comic book wise?
I don't know, man. I don't even know the answer or what
second,
I meant.
Second, you just made up a question that doesn't exist.
877-520-1150.
When Superman had his green cape, where what planet was that on? Good Lord.
So what did you do over the you brought your dog to you? Let's get to this. You were over at the studio down the street to do a picture with the King of Queens?
Well, it was our last episode, season finale tonight, so they do a cast picture, which I'd forgotten about, and they reminded me of that today. So... And I usually bring my dog to work on Fridays, and everyone there likes him. So they're like, "Bring Grumpus," and they put him in the picture because he's a little snuggle bug.
Now, do you like doing that show? I mean, is it something?
Yeah.
Because a lot of people don't associate you with that, and I know some people try to separate themselves from things that they do if they don't think it's up to par with who they are. And I just
I think, look, if you do something and then you let it take over your life, that's your fault. I mean, you should be busy doing other things. I mean, I have fun doing the show. No, it's not representative of what I do, but it's also not bad. I mean, you can do different things.
Right.
You know what I mean?
Oh, look,
does that make sense?
It does make sense. You can do whatever you want, and people see you. People just have. I think the big fear is.
Also,
is that,
it gives me the freedom and the money to do the stuff I want to do.
Okay.
So why wouldn't I do that?
No, I understand that. But a lot of times when you go out on the road, let's say, and people will expect, like, "You're the guy from King and Queens who sits on the couch and he says the funny things." And then you get up there and they're like, "You're not the guy I thought you were."
No, I had some problems with that, but luckily, you know, with it, that's why I put the CD out and did the tour movie and.
Exactly,
and the website,
to erase your shame for doing King of Queens.
Not erase the shame. I just don't. I hate people coming out and then I ruin their evening.
Right.
There's nothing worse than like a smiling family sitting in the front row of my show. Like, this is what we all watch this show in the family hour.
Now you don't make sense and you're filthy.
Hey,
someone was just on the phone and they left.
What?
Someone was going to tell us the definition of simulacra.
Oh, is that how it's pronounced?
I believe it is pronounced that. I'm not completely sure. And I've gone over this thing before and I've read
it. It was
damn
probably
books.
Dustin. Yeah. Dustin was calling in to help us out.
Patton, he was
so self-deprecating and funny on the phone. I was amazed.
And he looks amazing for 90.
He was really...
Isn't he? How old is that guy?
No, I don't think
he's like
90.
70. He looks tremendous for his age. He's in his late 60s,
I believe.
Yeah, yeah.
Wow. All those guys, him, Duvall, and Hackman, all like age. They must have some kind of weird pill they take because they look great.
It's method acting work. They're doing young.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, they've stopped aging.
I gotta start
learning. So it looks like some calls are coming in. 877-520-1150. Jim's gonna play us out here. Right. It is 18 past the hour. I guess Patton, you're just gonna hang out. You got nowhere to go.
Yeah,
is your dog okay out there?
He's asleep.
All right, hit it, Jim.
Turn your radio up, cause you're listening to Mark Maron's show. Nothing is real. And nothing to get hung about. Mark Maron Show forever. The pathetic thing was I had this written down.
Heard about the rapture from President Bush, but would like to learn more? Stay tuned for Rapture Watch with MILF Cardinal Milfington coming up next.
And now back to more Redness and Swelling with Mark Maron.
Very nice. 23 past the hour. It's getting late. We're getting punchy. Got Patton Oswalt in the room. Patton Oswalt. Evan San Francisco, I just remember. Patton, I got this great new sushi place that comes on boats. And he'd take you somewhere. You were always on the search for these great restaurants, and he always had this thing for sushi. I just remember sitting there. Where the hell was that? Was that in San Francisco where we sat at a counter?
Iso Bune,
and the boats came by?
You, me, and Blaine all got stoned and then sat there, and we sat there for 20 minutes and didn't take any sushi, because we were just watching these boats float by. We were so happy. And then we're like, oh, we should eat something.
How much pot did we smoke in San Francisco, man? It was unbelievable.
I just remember going to your house one day to go and hang out and get coffee, and you like say, man, come here, man. And you just like snap some plant. This is vanilla. You got to smell this, man. Like you were trying to get all connected to the earth.
Yeah.
And then we go to get coffee, and you're like, I was supposed to do Caroline's comedy, and they just totally bumped me. I was like, you went from being like
Mr.
Thoreau to like so angry about your career.
Yeah, that was Louis C.K. talks about that too. Like if I get something in my mind, he does this impression of me where I'm like, apparently I was pissed off about something and I'm ranting about it. And we went into a store and I'm still like, this sucks, man. And but I'm looking at really pretty jewelry, so I'm looking with the same pissed off face. It's like, this is really pretty, you know, whatever. Can't really talk about yourself like that.
No.
Simulacrum is how it's pronounced, and I looked it up. It's an image or representation or an unreal or vague semblance. As if on a philosophical nature,
right.
I think the way Baudrillard, or however you pronounce his name, I can't claim to be a genius with that stuff. He's talking about the almost holographic nature of America. In terms of, it's kind of poetic. I like reading his stuff. I can't say I understand it. Let's talk to this cat. He's a big fan. He's a blogger. He's up in Buffalo. Sean, what's happening, man?
Hey, buddy. What's up?
Not much, buddy. What's up?
Irish. I'm not actually in Buffalo. I'm in Binghamton right now, but I'm from Buffalo.
So are you in the truck now?
Yeah, sitting in the truck, man. Got the Wi-Fi going, streaming and everything.
That's amazing. In a truck, are you out, are you typing on as you drive, or are you in the
I'm crashed out in the truck stop, man. I can't drive anywhere right now. I've been up for like 30 something hours. I had to stay up to listen to the show, man.
Are you doing those are you doing those summaries? Is that you on the blog doing the summaries of
one first segment of the show.
You have been up for a few days, haven't you?
Man,
I'm thinking about reading it in a little while.
Yeah.
I got to figure out how to do it without the cuss words. But it's pretty funny, man. You did it the other night too, where you just do the stream of consciousness. I got to find what page it's on now. I'll find it. I might read it, man. Thanks for listening, Sean. I appreciate it.
Hey, take it man, easy. I'm hoping you guys get on the XM soon, man. I need it when I'm driving.
Yeah, me too, dude. You and I both. We've got it. We got to straighten some stuff out. But thanks for listening.
Yeah,
man.
Take care of it.
You
man.
Too. You too. I will, man. So look, it's crazy. If you go to markmaron.com, MARCMARON.com. Oh, here it is. Here it is. First segment transcript. 2-bit, 3-bit. Who knew lurking conservatives, Clipper fans, friggin' bastards? Ah, sweet skippers. One. Yes, King of Queens. Patton Oswalt is sweet. Gore Vidal. Mark never met Harrison. Artichokes suck. Screw artichokes. No bad artichokes. No progressive artichoke. Dinosaur flowers. Long stem. Prehistoric flower that Mark loves to eat. I suppose I can give him a try again. Arclight Theater film review during movie. Hope he isn't watching Ultraviolet. That would be horrible. Just on and on. Just fragments of a guy who's been up 2 days in the cab of his truck. He's just like, no, man, I got to do this. I got to write.
Where are today's Kerouacs?
He's right there. He's in the cab of the truck with the Wi-Fi. Mary in L.A., how are you, Mary?
Oh, hi. Is Patton there?
He's right here.
You guys are crazy. I've never heard this show before. And when I heard Patton was coming on, I said, oh, I got to listen to it. Patton, I love you.
Thank
I love
you.
Your part. And there's nothing bad about your part in King and Queens. It's cool. You are so good. You are so funny.
Well, thank you,
but
Mary.
But now that I know that you have other things out, you have CDs and
Yeah, I have a couple CDs. And
oh, okay.
Where can she go to get them?
PattonOswalt.com. You can buy them right off the website.
Oh, okay. And I can find out all about you, huh?
They're
okay.
Dirty.
All right, Mary, thanks for calling.
Oh, one other thing.
What?
Oh. When does this show come on? This is the first time I've heard this show.
It sort of comes on. It's supposed to be from 10 to 12, but if there's a Clippers game on.
I hate the Clippers for ruining my AI. Ooh, I hate them.
Yeah, I'm starting to share that sentiment. So we'll go on after the game on any given night.
Oh, okay.
Okay.
What's the name of the show?
The Mark Maron Show.
Mark Maron. Can I get it online?
You can stream it online.
Oh, okay.
And you can go to, if you go to airamericaradio.com, I think you can podcast it for a cost.
Well, thanks, guys. You guys got me laughing.
All right, thank you.
I should be in bed. I got to go to work in the morning.
All right, Mary. Thank you so much.
Sweet, Mary.
All right, bye-bye.
Oh, that was adorable.
She's sweet. What a sweet fan.
That was so sweet. And she loves the guy in Queens, and now she loves you for who you are.
Yes.
Patton, thank you for coming by.
Man, thanks for having me.
You'll come by every day next week?
Any day you want me.
All right. 29 past the hour. LA's Progressive Talk, AM 1150. Hang out.
You're about to reap the bountiful harvest of your pagan sins, idolaters, because Rapture Watch with MILF Cardinal Milfington is coming up next. And now a man who still has Cheney Buckshot in his ass. Mark Maron.
Oh, thank you, Jim.
Yeah, you're welcome.
35 past the hour. The party continues online at markmaron.com, markmaron.com. Oh, now we got Gypsy calling from up in Portland. Hi, Gypsy. What's going on?
Oh, it's just going on. It's getting late, man.
It sure is getting late. Everyone's getting punchy.
Oh, man. I get up at 5 in the morning.
Yeah.
Well, when you were on the morning show, I was getting up at 4.
Right.
And this is killing me. But anyway.
Certainly appreciate it.
Oh, hey. You're like my favorite funny guy.
Oh.
This is really Gypsy?
Yes. And Jim is my other favorite funny guy.
Jim is like starstruck that he's actually talking to you right now.
Wow. Oh, my God. Wow. I'm starstruck that I'm talking to Jim.
You're like a blog star.
Jim, wasn't it Gypsy that gave you the lavender chocolate, Jim?
Yes.
That's right. I sent you guys lavender chocolate.
Yes, that was great chocolate.
He's been talking about the chocolate. He talks about your recipes. He's always talking Gypsy this, Gypsy that, on and on, Gypsy.
Has he forgiven me yet for the spam fried rice recipe?
Yeah, did you forgive her for the spam fried rice recipe?
Yes, I did, but, you know, it's between you and Christopy. You know.
Oh, we're going to the blog land. So, Gypsy, you were mad at me because I didn't post a white bean dip recipe yet.
Well, I'm not mad. I'm just a nagging, little Jewish lady, and I'm just reminding you.
All right, I'll post it. It's pretty simple. It's white beans. It's like a can. If you take a can of white beans, drain them, put them in the food processor, and then basically you put a couple of things of garlic, about a quarter cup of olive oil, salt and pepper, and cumin, and lots of lemon, and just whip it up. So you almost get like a white bean hummus.
I was going to say, that's hummus, dude.
Yeah, it's basically a white bean hummus, but it's with a little more olive oil. I actually don't put olive oil in my hummus.
Oh, okay.
I may drizzle some on top, but I don't
But then there's no tahini in this recipe. But,
exactly.
But, no, we are working on the cookbook. There's three of us now completely on board, and there's probably more that I just haven't been able to download my email.
Maybe we'll get Air America to publish it if I can get them on the phone.
Oh, good luck with that, dude.
Good luck with that. We love you, Gypsy. Thanks for calling.
We love you. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. We here at the Mark Maron Show want you to make positive. We want to make positive contributions to society. So every night we bestow an honor upon one distinguished citizen whose actions most closely represent those of our esteemed vice president. Without further ado, we present the Mark Maron Show's Dick of the Day. Here we go. Welch, West Virginia Police Chief Bobby Bowman shows up at the scene of a medical emergency and assisted in the death of one Claude Green. You hear me, Jim? This guy, Claude Green, had a heart attack while driving his pickup. Green's friend, Billy Sneed, was riding shotgun when it happened and managed to pull the truck over, get Green out of the truck, and start performing chest compressions. This guy, this police chief, Bobby Bowman, shows up, tells Sneed to stop pumping Green's chest, and tells him not to perform CPR because Green is gay and he might have HIV and that he was a health threat. Now, a lawsuit has been filed by Green's mom and sister. An ACLU AIDS Project lawyer said that Bowman's actions contributed to Green's death and violated the Americans with Disabilities Act, equal protection laws, and due process rights. Not that it matters, folks, but Green did not have HIV. He died from being gay in West Virginia. And that, my friends, is Republican policy in action. And that, my friends, makes Police Chief Bobby Bowman of Welch, West Virginia, the dick of the day. The Bible's book of Revelations portends the end of days and the second coming of the Christian Messiah. But we won't let you be caught off guard by the end of the world, friends. That's why we present this week's Rapture Watch with MILF Cardinal Milfington of the recently disgraced Diocese of Willacoochee, Georgia. Your Grace.
Heed my words, ye graven promoters of Disneyland's gay days at the park. And lift your heads to the light, thy blaspheming evolutionists of Dover, Pennsylvania. For you have put yourselves straight in the path of God's wrath-filled level four hurricane by mocking Christ's hatred of flamboyant behavior. And woe unto thee, my next-door neighbor, who thinks he can avoid street-cleaning tickets by parking on my lawn. Don't be surprised when a typhoon of medical waste hits your Lexus, or even possibly a meteor. I'll settle for a typhoon of medical waste myself. That I can manage. Park at the Sonic like everybody else, jerk. I'm here to tell everyone that your soul's idiot light is flashing, and you're about to break down on Route 666 with nothing but a bobble-headed Elvis and a Mr. Pibb bottle full of fear pee.
Fear pee. Sorry.
For we are at the tail end of the church age, or the church end of the tail age. Take your pick, perverts. One would think in this time of record tropical storms, 500-year droughts, and the UPN and WB merging to make the CW, that there would be enough signs of the rapture. No. But now comes the big wazoo of all end-time indicators. For according to the Hebrew-controlled media, the University of Florida, or should I say, the University of Fornication, is requiring employees to pledge to have sex with their domestic partners in order to qualify for health benefits. This is an end-time indicator on three fundamentally satanic levels, Mark.
Yeah.
First, the University of Florida is encouraging gays to have sex. Mm. Two, and worstly, they're encouraging Floridians to have sex. And C, they're encouraging unmarried couples to seek health care. Three things Jesus hates. What does all this mean, ye habitudinous waxers of underarm regions? The rapture is upon us. For it was prophesied in Revelation 99 bottles of beer on the wall, and I quoteth, and the great whore of Babylon will come down from Yellow Mountain. On a dark, flat land she will ride, with a whirlwind by her side. And the inhabitants of the earth will be made drunk with the wine of her fornication, riding
wildfire.
End quoteth. Well, there you have it, suckers. The devil not only went down to Georgia, he went right down to the... He went down to... Wait a minute. Let me go back there. The devil not only went down to Georgia, he went down and to the right to Florida. What else do you expect from a state shaped like Forrest Tucker's penis? But none of that matters now. Because while you're all committing Congress with sea manatees in Pensacola, I'll be sitting at the throne of Christ and his prize basset hound Buttercup, who recently took third place at the Westminster Dog Show. Until then, fornicators, keep on fornicating and we'll keep the light on for you. In hell! Seacrest out.
That was beautiful, Cardinal. I appreciate it.
You're welcome. Thanks.
I swear to God, man, you know what we got to do? We got to call Art Bell's show, as Cardinal Milfington has got to call Art Bell's show. Is he, like, down the hall? Is it Jason, the Jew from Wisconsin, is Art Bell down there?
No, I believe he's out in the high desert, and
He doesn't screen his calls, from what I understand, so he could probably get on no problem.
We got to do that one night. We've got to call Art Bell. Have you ever listened to his show, Jim?
No, I haven't.
Oh, my God. We were driving down the street, my wife and I, and I don't listen to him regularly, and it's I didn't know who he was, and it's a call-in show, and it's some guy saying, I saw the light and the green face of Satan peeled back from the light out in the middle. This guy's talking about having this experience where he saw two unidentified flying objects, and one of them was Satan that landed, and I thought it was a bit, but I think those are real people that he has on there, aren't they? Jason, I mean, what do you know about it?
I think they're real people.
Oh, it's beautiful. We've got to start calling Art Bell. If we're going to be up this late, if this show's going to, be forced into the middle of the night.
If we're going to be up this late, we got to start screwing with people.
We got to start calling Art Bell. Hey, someone call us, 877-520-1150, 1150-520. You know what time? It's 44 past the hour. My wife is, I wonder if she's still at the damn Oscar party. She tells me she's going to this Oscar party. Her buddy, Josh Olson, who's nominated for Oscar, she says that she's going to a party that Dennis Quaid's band is playing at the party. I bet you William Hurt's there. She's probably hanging out with William Hurt.
Dennis Quaid's band. There's nothing worse than people in show business trying to be.
I know. No, but Dennis Quaid, I got to be honest with you, I like that guy. I think he's a good actor.
I don't know him. I think he's really stand-up. I've never met him.
I'm not Patton Oswalt. I'm not sitting here dropping the names all over the place.
Sorry, I can't hear you. So many names dropping around me.
Yeah, I know, right?
Yeah.
I wonder how the party is. I wish she would call me. I wonder if she's listening to my show. Hey, baby, if you're listening, why don't you just call the number, 877-520-1150.
Yeah, baby.
Brendan just called her cell phone, and apparently she's not picking up because she's having too much damn fun at the Oscar party without me.
Man, she's going to be a huge star, and this is going to be like the end of A Star Is Born.
Oh, no, don't say that, man.
You're going to walk off into the sea in your robe.
I used to be so afraid of that.
Are you serious?
Well, no, I mean, there is some fear because I'm a bit older than her. I want her nothing but success. But you know what? She's got me. I believe that she loves me. She's calling. She's on the phone right now. Hold on. Mishna.
Yeah, what's up, babe?
Hey, are you at home?
I am.
How? Turn down the radio, baby.
Okay, I'm sorry. I'm just listening to my husband.
Oh, that's so sweet. Hey, so what was the party like, man?
I didn't get in.
Why am I calling my wife man?
I didn't get in.
What do you mean, didn't get in?
Yeah, I mean, I was there, and I was texting back and forth with Josh. Apparently, he couldn't get any of his friends in. There were so many people there. I also got there a little late, it was recommended I get there early, but there were so many people there from New Line and... from the press and all these different places that, his friends couldn't all get in.
So you get to the party, you're all dressed up and you're hot, and you get to the party and you can't go in?
I mean, I could have been a real jerk about it or tried to get him to come out and get me, And he even said they wouldn't let him come out and get people.
That is ridiculous.
Yeah, I know. It was so Hollywood.
Did you hear Dennis Quaid's band from outside?
I didn't hear anything. It was really a disappointing experience.
I'm sorry.
All around.
So what did you end up doing tonight?
I came home and I watched a Sonny Chiba movie.
you should watch some Curb Your Enthusiasm.
I'm kind of into the kung fu tonight. I don't know why.
I'll be home soon. This show, we've only got two more hours to do. I think we're only on the air for another. Apparently, though, when there's a Clippers game, we've got to go till 4 a.m. So we'll be on the air for another three or
so
four
it's
hours.
It's like you're doing a morning show again.
Yeah. If it was a weekday morning, I could actually call Riley.
Oh, wow, this is exciting. Well, I'm glad I could make your night by telling you you're probably having a better time than I am.
Well, I'm sorry that you got all dressed up. Are you still wearing the fancy clothes?
I am. I thought I'd save them for you.
Okay. All right. I love you. So keep them on. I'll be home in about a half hour.
Okay. Or if you want to go till 4, go till 4.
No, what does that mean? I'm coming home.
Okay. Bye.
Bye.
If this were like a WB sitcom, the audience would be going, whoo.
So Brendan, do you want to do the Bush radio address again? Is that what you want to do? We can. Because I don't know if... Are we actually picking up new listeners at this point? In case you didn't hear it. All right, look, we're going to do that. Why not do it? This way, we got a snippet from Bush's radio address, which airs tomorrow. And we'd like to play it for you. You'll hear the full one tomorrow, but this is something we were able to get because we got a guy on the inside.
My fellow America, I speak to you today on a matter of vital importance. There's been some concerns raised by concerners out there regarding a potential threat to the safety of our domestic from overseas. Let me cut right to the chin. The deal to lease our ports to Dubai must go forward. To those who would have us withdraw from the world into isolationistism, let me just remind you that we cannot do that. I'm fully aware of defending the homelands. I understand that. But it is important to remember that we will maintain security over the security of our ports. Some have said that Dubai have connections to terror in September 9/11. Let me just say that if any Dubaiers was involved in terror, we can rest assured that they already killed themselves. We must make moves to ensure our trade incomes continues to income. If there's no saying down in Texas, if money ain't coming in, you can bet your belt it's not going out. I remain committed to jobs where people can work. That's what a job is. I know that and understand it's a problem. But we are outsourcing this port job to Dubai because it is jobs that the Dubaiers will do for cheaper. And that's vitally important to the system of the American system. Our nation remains good, and our strength remains strong, and it's going to stay that way. God bless the United States.
Wow! I can't believe my f***ing ears! March Short Order News is coming up! Right after this f***ing break!
And now he's liberated thousands of Messenian helots from the tyranny of the Spartans. Mark Maron.
Oh, I did do that. I remember doing that. 54 past the hour, Progressive Talk, AM 1150. I tell you, Jim Earle.
Yeah.
It's kind of trippy and punchy at this hour. I like it. Got Jason the Jew from Wisconsin on the knobs over there, doing his business, having a good time.
And he's also working, too.
Yeah. We're all having a good time. Doesn't it sound like we're having a good time?
You just missed that horrible joke, but that's okay. You know?
I did. Did it go right by me?
Right under you.
Because you know what? You know what's going on underneath the silence with me? Here's what's going on. Mark, you okay? Mark, are you okay, Mark? That's what's going on. That's a little voice inside of me saying that.
Well, I'm glad somebody's asking that.
I know. Thank God I'm taking care of myself. And I so appreciate these people on the blog. I mean, it's Friday night, man, and they are having a great time. I think Sean is having a little better time than the other ones. He's been up for 2 days, and he's in the cab of his truck, like, jamming away on the keys. I just, like, his stream of consciousness is fraying apart, much like mine right now. What do you, oh, wow, the time just got away from me. Do we have time? Let's do it. A lot happened in the world today, and we want to make sure you're caught up on current events before you go to bed. So here's tonight's edition of Mark Maron's Short Order News. Speaking in Washington today, OPEC President Edmund Dekuru said that the global oil market is actually oversupplied by about 2 million barrels per day. Meanwhile, oil futures were up on rumors the president was about to start a civil war in the United States. Former Congressman Randy Duke Cunningham was sentenced today to 8 years and 4 months in prison for accepting more than $2.4 million in bribes from defense contractors. The judge also received a letter from Cunningham himself saying he was, quote, ashamed and deeply sorry, adding, quote, and here's a little something for your trouble. On the set of his new film in southern Mexico, Mel Gibson has taped a brief message for Sunday's Oscar telecast in an ancient Mayan language. Apparently, Gibson is going to read from a recently unearthed Mayan inscription blaming the Jews for killing Jesus. All right, and that's Mark Maron's Short Order News for tonight, my friends. What are you doing this weekend, Jim?
Mark, your target weight loss goal for next week is 5 pounds.
How'd you know that? Did you just talk to my wife? How'd you know that?
Doing a lot of painting.
Comedy. Jeff Ross next week, friends. And we'll be joined by a true oddity in the world of science, the amazing half-man, half-dog hybrid that Bush warned us about in his State of the Union. And go to markmaron.com for any updates and stuff. We're going to be getting the bugs out of that. So have a great weekend, sheeple. Have a good weekend, Jim, Brendan, Paul out in the other room, and Jason Stein. Good weekend, okay? Be careful.